Matthew 24. We are going to take a break for a few weeks, and we are going to talk about the subject of end times, Bible prophecy. And anytime I do this, I'm always reminded about what God said to Ezekiel there on your outline. And he says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, that person's life will be taken because of their sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. And so when you read it, and you can read the expanded version later in your Bibles, but it goes on to say, if the watchman shares it, you know, the sword is coming and they don't heed it, it's on them. But the watchman has a responsibility to say, this is what's happening. Now, when the watchman, and always remember this is thousands of years ago in the Middle East, but when the watchman sees what's coming and he sounds the alarm and he says, here's what's happening, it's not the message that people want to hear, but it's the message that they need to hear. And so, again, anytime we think of Bible prophecy, I'm always reminded of that. But the Bible speaks a great deal about the time in which you and I live in. We're going to look at that today. So please write this down. I know you've heard this before, but Bible prophecy helps us to understand that things aren't falling apart. They are falling into place, just as the Bible says. So today we're going to look at something that we've looked at several times through the years. And so for some of us, this is going to be by way of review. And for others of us, this is going to be brand new. And each time we go through this, I highlight a different aspect of this. And I'm going to do that today. But in light of the world situation, I want to highlight some things that are taking place and some things that we are going to see accelerate in the world around us. And anytime I teach on Bible prophecy, I only focus in on the things that are glaringly obvious around us. So none of this is obscure stuff. It's definitely happened just like that. So our story begins in Matthew chapter 24. And it's just a few days before Jesus goes to the cross. It's literally the last day of his earthly ministry. So in verse 1, it says, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly, I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. And that happened, and you know this, in 70 AD, the Romans come in, they destroy the temple, literally take all the blocks apart, all the stones apart, and Jerusalem is wiped out. Israel ceases to exist as a nation. The Jewish people move out of the land of Israel. And so Jesus says this, and the disciples are a little bit shocked by this. And so they wait till Jesus is, they're alone with Jesus, and they come up to Jesus and they ask him three questions. Now, I like to refer to these as the three questions. So that was funnier in my office. But I want you to go 1, 2, and 3 and number these questions as we go in verse 3. In verse 3, it says, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. So this is going to be a private disciple briefing. Okay, this is just for the disciples. Saying, tell us when, number one, will these things happen? And then to what will be the sign of your coming? Sign of your coming is number 2. And number 3, the end of the age. So they ask 3 questions. They say, when will these things happen? He's just told them the temple is going to be destroyed. They say, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So they have rightfully paired his coming with the end of the age. Now, Jesus is going to take 2 chapters to answer their questions. Chapters 24 and 25, Jesus takes and answers these questions. If Jesus takes 2 chapters to answer these questions, or 3 questions, you got to believe that it's important to Jesus. So when we were in our study in Matthew years ago, and we came to this chapter, we took 4 weeks to go through this chapter. I'm not going to take 4 weeks to go through it. We're going to hop, skip, and jump as we go. But they have come to Jesus, and they have asked three questions. When will these things happen? What's the sign of your coming? And the end of the age. Now, before we get into verse 4, I want to say we're going to notice as they ask this question, Jesus is not going to respond by saying, don't focus in on that. I mean, who really cares? There's other things that are more important. It all pans out in the end. That is not how Jesus answers them when they ask these three questions. So verse 4, it says, Jesus said, answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. See to it that no one misleads you. How many of your Bibles use the word deceives you? Yeah, that's a better translation. He says, whether deceived or misled, either way. Jesus says, I will answer your question, but see to it that you are not misled. The idea is you're now going to be responsible for this information. This is something that is important to Jesus. I believe that one of the ways that we can be misled or deceived about the sign of his coming and the end of the age is that we can go to church for decades and go to church week in and week out, and we never even talk about this. And so we don't even know that what the Bible says about this. So this is something that's important to Jesus. He says, see to it. So go ahead and write this down. Jesus expects us to know this. When he says, see to it, he expects us to know it. Verses 4 and 5 again, and Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Some of your Bibles will say deceive. We're going to come back to those verses in a couple of moments. So they've asked the questions, three questions. When will these things happen? What's the sign of your coming? And the end of the age. And Jesus begins by giving an overview, and that begins in verse 6. Jesus says, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. So as a believer, so far, Jesus has told us that we're not to be deceived and we're not to be frightened by these things. Now that word frightened in my translation, if you have the NIV, I think it translates it as alarmed, and that's a good translation too, but you can also translate that saying do not panic. And what we find is that those who are the most misled about these things are the people who are the most frightened about these things. But Jesus says these things must take place. They must take place. So I put verse 7 there on your outline, and it says, for nation, and you'll notice the word there for nation is ethnos, shall rise against nation, ethnos, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, notice it's in the plural, lemoi, and pestilences, loimoi, again in the plural, and earthquakes, and that word there is seismos, in diverse places. When it says in diverse places, it means places that you wouldn't normally expect. How many of you remember maybe a month or so, 2 months ago, there was an earthquake off of Cuba, and they said they felt it all the way up in Boynton Beach. Do you guys remember that? So that's one of those diverse places. You don't normally expect that, but that's how it's going to be. So verse 8, let me read that in your Bible. It says, but all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pains. Now, I love that. It says birth pains. When a woman becomes pregnant, you have this long pregnancy, and her body becomes increasingly uncomfortable until something amazing happens, and you know, and then there's the birth. But as you get closer and closer, as she becomes more and more uncomfortable, sometimes before labor kicks in, you can have a false start. So for instance, in 2012, Cheryl was pregnant with twins, and 3 or 4 times we went to the hospital, we said, this is it. We get to the hospital and they go, no, this is not it, this is dehydration. So, you know, so we give her an IV and send her home. But, you know, at a certain point, labor kicks in, and he uses the term birth pains. And when birth pains kick in, here's what happens. Ladies, you confirm that this is true or not. Those contractions become closer and closer together, and they become more and more intense until there's no break in between the contractions. That's pretty much how it works. I've seen it several times. So you look at the world situation, and if you look at our country, in the 1800s, we had the Civil War, which was really bad. But that was nothing compared to World War I, which was really, really bad. But that was nothing compared to World War II, which was really, really bad because, you know, at this point we're dropping atomic bombs. And so, you know, and many people believe that we are on the brink of World War III. I personally don't believe that we are, but some people hold that we are. And then it talks about how these seismos, earthquakes, and they're going to increase. So growing up as a kid, I know many of you have heard me say this, but growing up as a kid, when we would talk about tsunamis and things like that, those were always things that happened, you know, on the other side of the world thousands of years ago. But I didn't think that they were part of modern, you know, the modern world. I thought those things passed away. But in 2004, for those of you who are old enough to remember, you'll remember the tsunami that was triggered by an earthquake that hit Indonesia, and thousands upon thousands of people died. And we were horrified as we saw the videos of all that coming out. Well, that's just one time. It's on the other side of the world, you know. But then in 2011, the same thing happened in Japan, and we saw the videos of that. And it was catastrophic that happened. And recently, this summer, do you guys remember the earthquake in Venezuela, the two that happened in like 1 minute? Do you know the news isn't even talking about that anymore because so much stuff is going on. They just kind of moved on. I went online yesterday, and still it says that there are tens of thousands of people still missing. It's like that hasn't gone away. It's still there. They're still dealing with the devastation. Well, these things are going to increase. It says nation will rise against nation. The word there is ethnos. Now, ethnos, we would say people group or racial groups. So 500 years ago, if you're translating this into English, you know, if you are France, or you're French, you'd live in France, and if you're an Italian, you live in Italy, and the world was not the melting pot. But now, when you talk about ethnos, the idea is that different groups are going to rise up against different groups, and about the time we think that we got this thing figured out, it all erupts again. And then it says kingdoms against kingdoms. So we just look in the last couple of years. You have the Russia-Ukraine situation. It doesn't look like it's getting any better at this point. Horrible devastation, 2023. You'll remember the Palestinian-Israel situation, and that's still there. That's still continuing on. And now it's the Iran situation. And we were told it's going to be, you know, just 2 weeks, and it's all going to be over because, you know, their navy's at the bottom of the ocean, their air force is decimated. Has anybody else other than me noticed that it's still going on? It's still going on. And by the way, I can tell you, based upon what the Bible explicitly says in Ezekiel 38 and 39, another story for another day, Iran is going to do very well through this. So we'll talk, and sadly, it doesn't appear that we will, based upon Bible prophecy. So these things are continuing on. How many of you remember 10 years ago when all we were dealing with was just North Korea was saying they're going to blow us off the face of the earth? Oh, those were the good old days. So anyways, then it says famines and pestilences. A famine can be just a disruption in the food supply. Has anybody else noticed that food prices continue to rise? So Cheryl and I have a friend, and they owned a restaurant for many years, and they decided to shut it down a couple of years ago. We were in a conversation with them. And we said, so why did you decide to shut it down? And they said, our wholesale prices raised by 30% in 1 year. And they said, it just wasn't financially feasible to keep it going. So we've seen that. So food prices are rising. But then it talks about pestilences. It says, there shall be famines, lemoi, and pestilences, loimoi. And some of your Bibles, and one of the reasons I put that there on your outline, is some of your Bibles leave out the word pestilences. And I wanted to show the Greek words, but some of your Bibles leave out the word pestilences, but it's been there for 2,000 years. All of these are in the plural. And so when it says pestilences there on your outline, it means plague, literally the disease. So when I was in college, and some of you who are old enough as I am, when I was in college, we first heard about this thing called AIDS. How many of you remember hearing the first time about AIDS coming out? Yeah. And we were told this is going to be the meltdown of the world, and it's pretty bad, and you know, it's still with us. And then in 2004, I was getting ready to go to China to get my daughter Hannah, and all of a sudden SARS came out, and that was the big consideration, and it almost canceled our trip going to China. Well, in 2009, it was the H1N1 swine flu, which was declared a pandemic. We didn't really feel it, but much of the world did. But recently, it was the coronavirus, and that literally shut down the entire world. So these things are like birth pains. They're becoming more and more intense, and you'll notice closer and closer together. So the big question is, you know what? What is next? So this is not God saying, I'm inflicting this on you. It's nothing like that. It's sort of like, you know, we live here in Florida, and during the hurricane center, we live here in Florida, if the hurricane center comes out and they say that a category 5 is heading your way, you know, that's like being a watchman on the wall. They're not inflicting that on us. They're just saying, this is what's happening, and you need to prepare for what's taking place. And God says, these things are coming. They're just going to happen. And in Florida, because we live here, we have to always be prepared for hurricanes. So in our family, as you know, we have 12 kids, and so we always prepare. We've always been preparing a little at a time. And our goal has always been to where if something catastrophic like that happens, we're able to stay home for 3 months and not leave the house. For those of you who've been through hurricane here, you know what happens at Publix and Home Depot. Everything is crazy and it shuts down. We've never had to run and do that. So our goal is 3 months. So I prefer, when it comes to preparation, I prefer to be a year early in my preparation rather than a day late. Because when you're a day late, you just can't prepare. So these things are going to happen and they're going to increase. So if I were to summarize verses 5-8, I would say there in your outline, these things are not the sign of the end, but will increase exponentially as we get closer to the end of the age. These things are birth pains. Birth pains. They're not the sign, but they're going to increase. Jesus continues on with an overview of how things are going to go. And again, when we went through this, we took 4 weeks to talk about this. But the disciples have come to Jesus and they've said, "What is the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" So Jesus has given the non-signs that are going to increase, like birth pains, as we get closer and closer, famines, war, things like that. But then Jesus says, let me answer your question. What is the sign of his coming and the end of the age? Now, today, I'm going to tell you what the sign is, but we're not going to talk about it this week. We'll talk about it next week. We're going to talk about something else. So I'll give you the punchline, but we'll unpack it next week. The sign of his coming, and I want you to write this down, is that Israel becomes a nation again. And again, we're going to talk about this next week. I'm going to give you one verse, and then we'll move on for today. Back in the book of Ezekiel, God says, there in your outline, you want to underline, you will come up against my people Israel, like a cloud to cover the land, and it shall come about in the last days, that I will bring you against, God says, my land, so that the nations may know me when I show myself holy through you before their eyes, Gog. And then we'll talk about that sometime. But what I wanted to highlight very quickly in that little verse, we notice three things. First of all, it's his land, it's his people Israel, and it's in the last days. His people, his land, and it's in the last days. So for this to happen, Israel has to be a nation again back in its homeland. Israel ceased to be a nation in 70 AD. The Jewish people were moved out of Israel. And then 2,000 years later, 1948, Israel becomes a nation again, and they begin to move into Israel from the four corners of the earth. Israel is the only nation on the planet in the history of the world that existed as a nation and then ceased to exist as a nation and then became a nation again, just as the Bible said. And so that's going to be the sign. We'll talk about that next week. So we will cover that next week, but I wanted to take a few minutes today and read through some verses about the end times. And as we go through these verses, I want to see if you're able to pick up a theme of the last days, the end times. Now, I've made it very easy. It's going to be literally jumping off the page at you. You won't miss it at all. So you ready for this? Okay, for the three of you, we're going to go. We're doing it. So three times in this chapter, they've come to Jesus and they've said, what's the sign of your coming, the end of the age? He says, I'm going to answer your question. And so we read it. So three times in this chapter, chapter 24, there in your outline, Jesus answered and said, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Okay, that's the first time. Same chapter, answering the question, what's the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He says, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Well, again, same chapter, same questions. A few verses later, verse 24, Jesus says, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. So we see that three times in that chapter. And then later on, Paul the Apostle picks up on this theme, and he says in his letter to the Thessalonians, who had thought that they had missed what we call the rapture of the church. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks, because they were in such persecution, they thought that they were in that time period known as the tribulation. And Paul says, no, 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 you're not. And so Paul writes back and he says this, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. We're going to know him as the Antichrist. And then it says the son of destruction. So before the Antichrist is revealed, the son of destruction, now it's interesting when it says the son of destruction, the word there for destruction is the word apaleo, and you also get the word Apollo, the god Apollo. Apollo is called the destroyer. When this one comes who is the Antichrist, just as God the Father has a son who is unique, comes to the earth in a unique way, and he is God, Satan is also going to have a son who is going to come to the earth in a very unique way, and he is going to be referred to as the Antichrist. Story for another day. But before all that takes place, he says the apostasy must come first. Now, the word apostasy means a great falling away. So there's going to be, before this all happens, this Antichrist appears, there's going to be a great falling away in the faith. It's very interesting. Israel became a nation in 1948. So statistically, if you were to go back to the 1950s in our country, we were told that 45 to 49% of all Americans made going to church a priority. It was important to them. However, today, as we get closer and closer to the end, only 21% of Americans actually make going to church a priority. So you could say that church attendance since the 1950s has fallen by over 50% in our country. Some people say there's great revival breaking out in our church, revival breaking out in our world. But statistically, what we find is each year in America, every year, somewhere between 3,850 churches up to 7,700 houses of worship close every year, never to open again. So my question is, could that be due to a great deception that in that last generation, Jesus is no longer considered relevant to the people? And I think that that's a possibility. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from, you want to underline, from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You notice it doesn't say it gets better and better, better and better. So both deceived and deceiving. I want to encourage you as believers. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can have more faith in God and Satan's ability to deceive than God's ability to reveal truth. Paul doesn't leave us with they're going to be deceived and deceiving. He gives us the antidote, and it continues on, and he says this. He says, "You, however, continue in the things which you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings," the scriptures, "which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." So Paul gives the antidote to this deception. He says, you got to stay in the Bible. Just stick with the word of God. Well, I want to do one more deception. Are you up for one more?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll see. So there is one deception that I find very interesting, and this deception is judged in the time period that we will know as the tribulation, and there's going to be a judgment on a very specific deception. And again, that judgment takes place in the time period of the tribulation, but apparently it's been going on for some time. Many people think that we have seen this deception already. Others hold that, no, what we've seen is a precursor to that deception. But either way, the problem with deception is that when somebody is deceived, they don't really know that they are deceived. And many times they think that they're not. So chapter 18 in the book of Revelation is very near the very end of the tribulation period. And there's this interesting verse, and it says, "And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer, for your merchants," those who sold it to us, you might say, "were the great men," the New English translation says, "tycoons of the earth, because all the nations were deceived, by your sorcery." But I just want you to notice the Greek word there is pharmakia. So they were deceived, and it says all the nations. So this is going to be a worldwide deception. And it says by your sorcery, but the word there for sorcery is the word pharmakia, from where we get the English word pharmacy or pharmaceutical. So if you were translating this word pharmakia into English 500 years ago, it would make sense that you would use the word sorcery, because in that day, all sorcery involved using drugs, of pharmaceuticals, we would say. However, if we were translating that word today into English, the word pharmakia, we would probably use the word pharmaceutical, a very different word. I think whatever this deception is, that people who are deceived by this pharmaceutical, you might say, it could be the deception will be so great that if you don't take this pharmaceutical, that they won't let you come over to their house at Christmas. Or it could be whatever this is, that the deception would be so great that people would become angry with you if for just even suggesting. I don't really know if this is the wise thing to do. I'm not drawing any conclusions here. I'm just talking. Now, I think this deception, pharmaceutical deception, is going to be so great that some people might even lose their jobs if they don't take that. So what we do know is that this deception is going to be pushed by the merchants of the world, the tycoons, the most powerful men, and it's going to be something that all the nations would embrace. And again, it's going to be of a pharmaceutical nature. And again, so deceptive that all the nations embrace. Now, they will not recognize that it was really all just a great deception. Now, also let me say, whatever this is, the pharmakia is the deception, not whatever caused it to happen, but the solution was actually the deception. So having said all of that, and I've not given you all the verses, but would you agree and write this down that a major theme of the last days is deception? It's all over the place. And I've not given you all the verses, but it's all over. So may I go one step further as we bring this to a close? Good, because I'm going to anyways. So I just said it to be polite. So anyways, Paul says this. Paul says, but the Spirit explicitly says, take it to the bank, that in later times, now the contemporary English version just says last days, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. So let me ask you a question. Have you noticed how all of a sudden in the mainstream media, how now they're all talking about UFO disclosure? It seems to be all over the place. Now, how many of you are old enough to remember the movie E.T. when it came out? Okay? We all went to see it. These are our friends, and they were cute and cuddly and all of that. And now we see that our government, for the first time, is releasing videos of UFOs and UAPs. And now we are being told by our government that we have what they call non-human biologics. Have you seen that? So non-human biologics. Now, it used to be that people made fun of this topic. And sadly, they made fun of the people who had reported being abducted and the horrible things that took place during that abduction experience. So this past week, our family went away for a few days, and we decided to watch the new Steven Spielberg movie called Disclosure Day. How many of you have seen that movie? Okay, very interesting. Where these things are now being portrayed as our friends, and they are about to help us begin an amazing new era in our humanity, and I would say to literally save ourselves from ourselves. And so here's my question. As people pay attention to this emerging narrative or to the message of that movie, and as more comes out, is that pointing to a truth or is that pointing to a great end times deception that will cause people to fall away from the faith, thinking that this is actually the truth and what we've been saying about Jesus isn't really all that true? Well, I've been studying Bible prophecy and the UFO phenomenon now for the past 30 years, and I'm convinced that it is the beginning of a great coming deception that is coming and it's not going away. I believe it's a deception that Satan is going to use to cause many to fall away from the faith. So for that reason, what we've done is we've invited L.A. Marzulli to come back to our church, who is, in my opinion, is and has been for the past 30 years the leading researcher in the field, in this field, as it relates to biblical Christian perspective. He connects the dots better than anybody that I know. And so the first weekend of October, LA is going to come in. He's going to speak on Friday night, and he's also going to do two sessions on Saturday morning. This is just 4 weeks away, by the way. I've read all of his books. I've watched all of his documentaries, and I don't know of anybody who does a better job connecting the dots between what's taking place in our world and what the Bible actually says. So with the biblical narrative. Now, let me also say is that this is very spooky. It's very spooky. And because this is an L.A. Marzulli conference taking place here at our church, people will be signing up, flying in, driving in from other places to participate. So if you want to come to this, I encourage you to go ahead and sign up as soon as possible. And I've put the web address there on your outline at the very bottom. And the cost is only $15. And that's something that L.A. requires for us to do that here at the church. But if you decide to come to this, a couple things that I need to say. First of all, prepare to have your mind blown by what the Bible says is happening and what, you know, some of the things that we see that the media doesn't tell us. If you are bothered by the supernatural aspects of your Bible or the things that might be very weird to us in our Western culture, then this might not be the conference for you to come to. I personally am excited, but there is a coming great deception and that much of the world is going to embrace as the truth, and the world is being prepared right now to receive that. So Friday night, LA is going to talk about the rungs of disclosure, how this has been coming out in steps of disclosure for like the last 40, 50, 80 years, whatever it is. And Saturday morning, then he's going to talk about how we're being, as a nation and a world, being set up for that disclosure. And then session three, he's going to talk about the final warning. I think it's going to be fascinating. So I think it's very timely as our government is now rolling these videos out, this information out. And so I think that you will find it fascinating. Now, there is another verse on your outline, which we don't have time to talk about today. But I do want you to read that verse and just know the two words, one, they and men. Whoever they are cannot be men. So whoever they are not men. And you can read that verse and draw your own conclusions. And we might talk about that in the coming weeks. What, did you find that at least interesting today? Good. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and conclude and we'll pick it up there next week. Join me as we pray. Father, we want to be those who have our eyes opened. We see deception, deceit all over your word as a picture of the end times. And so, Father, we focus in on your word, what you're saying, so that we don't find ourselves carried away with the world's narrative. And Lord, I speak over this congregation right now, and I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you next time.